players did a good job of capitalizing on some mistakes and making some huge plays in the football game. There's certainly a lot of things we still got to work on, and you know, we kind of enjoyed the good feeling today, but now it's really time to move on and start to use the bye week as a time to improve our football team and start getting ready for Baltimore. And you know, we know what happened the last time they came in here, so we got big challenges ahead. So it was a good win, really good good overall team effort, and I congratulate and compliment the players for their good preparation and their performance last night.
So what is the plan for the bye week? What are the specifics of how you guys are going to start to work to get better?
Well, the players will be in on Thursday, so we'll start with them on Thursday. In the meantime, the coaching staff and we'll work on today and tomorrow before the players get in. You know, work on the things that'll we think will benefit our team both in the short and in the long run. A lot of meetings, a lot of film watching. You know, just kind of be able to sit back and take a little more time to discuss things than you usually have in a game plan type week where you're, I don't want to say scrambling, but you're on a tight schedule to get the scouting report and game plan and adjustments and all that done and prepare for practice and set up films and tapes that you want to show to the players to illustrate certain points that you're going to make for this particular game and all that. So it's, you know, that's a schedule that we're on weekly this week. It gives us a little bit more of a chance to take a longer, closer look at some things with less pressure of those game plan preparation meetings and practices that are always right around the corner.
So Jerod Mayo was credited with 16 tackles in the game last night. And last week against the Bills, he had 9. That's a lot of production over the last 2 weeks. Have you noticed anything different from Jerod over the last 2 weeks?
No, I don't think so, Mike. I mean, Jerod's one of our most consistent players. He's one of those guys that I think you know what you're going to get from him every single day of the week, Monday through Sunday. And he's a very dedicated, professional player, hardworking, with good talent and a good understanding of the game and a great competitive nature. So he competes all through the week to get things right, to do things better, to understand what our opponents are doing and understand what our game plan is and what adjustments need to be made and so forth. And he competes hard on Sundays. And I think that's, where a lot of his consistency comes from in the games is he's so consistent on the other 6 days of the week and doing all the things that lead up to that. And then it shows up on Sunday. But, he's been in a lot of the tackles he's been a productive player for us and continues to be, and he's just really consistent day in and day out.
Bill, now that you've seen some of the film, can you talk about the mechanics and X's and O's view of how Chung got each of his blocks? Like, what had to happen on the line to free him up in each instance?
Well, on the punt block, he twisted and came underneath of Cunningham, and just any time you do a twist, sometimes they pick up both guys, sometimes they pick up one guy and let the other one go, sometimes they, vice versa. So, when you're on a punt block, you never really know how they're going to block it. If somebody will make a mistake, everybody's got to be ready to go, and if we get the edge or just they're a little late reacting and we get through that gap on the line of scrimmage, then it could be any one of the 8 guys rushing that could get the block. And so, again, on that play, he twisted. Cunningham kind of, drew Carpenter's block, and Chung came underneath and was clean and took a good angle to the punter and, used good technique blocking the ball. Same thing on the field goal rush. We were in an overload situation. The tight end blocked down, and whether he should have given more help outside or the wing should have closed it down a little bit more or whatever, I'm not sure. But, again, there was that little gap there. And, the big thing was Patrick's technique of getting through the line and, flattening out, trying to get down the line of scrimmage and get his hands up right behind the center, which is where the ball travels. if it's a good kick. So he was able to, you know, to make that, you know, get through that seam and get to the proper spot to block it.
Bill, Scott O'Brien during training camp said that after coming into a second season, he felt much more comfortable working with these guys because he kind of knew what he had to work with. From your perspective, what is it about his approach to special teams that allows him to get the most out of his guys, especially with his history, with the success in the second year and leading a special teams group?
You know, my relationship with Scott goes back, you know, a long way, back to 91. It's almost been 20 years, and I just have a tremendous amount of respect for him as a football coach, period, but very good in the special teams area as well. But, I mean, I think he can does a great job of coaching football players in whatever the capacity is. So, you know, I think any time that you're with a group of players for a year, you just have a better understanding of their strengths, their weaknesses, just what can work good with that particular group of players. There are always new players involved, but there's some key guys to work around. And you know, I think he's done a real good job of putting guys in spots, going back early into training camp and letting them work together, letting them progress and grow and teach them the things that they need to do and their keys and techniques and so forth at those spots. And you know, we have production in preseason and in our different phases of the kicking game, and we continue to have it. We've also had some breakdowns, but you know, I think it's always easier the second year to have a little better feel for the individuals and their aptitude and capacity and their skill set. And he does a very good job of not only evaluating our opponents, but more importantly, evaluating the players that are on this team and putting them in good position and getting the most out of them. And the players work hard to make that happen, so it's a good situation.
Bill, did you see anything in the Jets' successful punt block the week before that maybe you took into the game last night?
Sure. Yeah. Well, we studied all the games, the three regular season games, the preseason games, and you know, of course, our games with them last year. And we put all that in together and. And, you know, probably you take a little something out of every single game that you watch and study, even if it's something that somebody did that wasn't successful, then it just gives you more of a confirmation that that's not really what you want to try to do, or as opposed to necessarily always copying what somebody else does, but you try to take something that you do that's part of your scheme that has an element of attacking the opponent maybe in a similar way that you've seen somebody else successfully attack them. So, sure, I think all those games are important. And the more recent ones are definitely ones that you probably study a little harder because of the personnel and some of the guys that played in preseason aren't there now or aren't playing those spots, so you have to take that into account even if the scheme's the same. But I'd say it's just a composite or really a mosaic of putting together a game plan. You take your information from a lot of sources and that you have available and then pull it all together and, you know, again, use the composite of all that information to decide, you know, what choices you want to make with your game plan schemes.
So you guys, I think Randy Moss was targeted once, and he seemed pretty happy with the victory last night. Well, could you discuss maybe his role or how the offense was able to function as well as it did?
You know, the passing game last night, it's the same way the passing game has been for the last 10 years. You call a pass pattern, you have multiple receivers running various routes, and based on the coverage and the matchups, and the quarterback decides where the best opportunity, leverage, space on the pattern is, and that's who he throws to. That's the way it always is, and that'll never really change. So, you know, you don't tell a quarterback to go back and throw the ball to this guy on this play unless it's a screen pass. That's about the only one. Otherwise, you read the coverage out, you see where the defenders are, and you try to throw where there are fewer of them. And that's the way it's been. That's the way it'll always be.
So in terms of having the off week, is this an ideal time? I know you're going to say that you take it when you get it. but not to put words in your mouth, is this an ideal time for the off week?
I think everybody's glad when the bye week comes. The best thing about the bye week is going into it with a victory, like we did last night. But it wouldn't make any difference when it came. There would be things we would need to work on. There would be things that we'd need to prepare for going forward. And we would take that time to try to improve ourselves from where we're at and try to look forward into problems that we're going to be facing in weeks ahead. And if we can get a jump on those, get a jump on them. So whenever it happens, that's a good opportunity for your team, and just try to take advantage of it. But I think you definitely don't mind it coming after a Monday night game on the road. That really would make this a short preparation week, and the fact that it comes here is a little bit of a benefit that we don't have to do that.
So just wondering, with the one pass that was thrown to Randy, I mean, is that something you guys practice? And is that Tom's decision? Is that someone yelling into his helmet to fake the spike and then throw the fade on that play? How did that kind of go about?
Well, we have different plays at the end of a half when we're trying to move the ball and conserve time. There's a lot of different plays depending on where we are on the field, how much yardage we feel like we need to get in the field goal range, or if we have to score a touchdown, whether we have timeouts or not, in terms of getting out of bounds or staying in bounds and using a timeout and all those type of things with different situational plays. So we use those plays based on the factors that I just mentioned. It's always the quarterback's decision when the ball leaves his hand who to throw it to. So even if you call a play, it's his decision to decide whether he can complete the pass, or if he's pressured, he has to throw it away, or whether or not to throw the ball in a certain area, even though that might be kind of the primary side or the side that we think is going to be the best place to throw to. It may in fact not be that because of something the defense does, and then he has to make another decision. So it's always the quarterback's decision to throw the ball, and it's a combination of coaching and quarterbacks in 2 minutes to decide which play to run and what the best way to try to gain yardage and use the least amount of time, or considering your timeouts, how to use that, manage that situation as efficiently as possible.
As young as this defense is, what do you take out of nights like last night? Is it, the finally coming together, getting it like you hoped, or is this kind of a cautious step along the way? Or how do you view the performance that they had last night?
I think last night was a lot like the first three games. You come out of the game feeling good about some things, things that were executed well. I think you feel overall that you're making improvements in certain areas, and there's still other areas that aren't as consistent or as efficient as you would like for them to be. And I think when we went through the film this morning and talked about it as a staff, that we kind of feel about like we felt last week and week before the Jets, that you can't, obviously the results are important. That's what we play for. But the analysis and breakdown of each individual play is on its own merits. And when it's good, you try to reinforce it and build on it. And when it isn't, you either correct it, or if you have to change it, you change it to, find a way for it to be a productive play. So I'd say it's pretty much about the same as it was last 3 weeks.
Well, a few of the players after the game mentioned that they felt like, I guess they were offended or frustrated that the media had picked against them, and they felt like that was a little bit of motivation to perform. Is there ever a time when you use an outside influence to motivate your guys to say that people are picking against them? Is that something that you've ever done, or can that ever be effective?
I think you always try to, I think every time you go into a game, you want to try to go into it with a mindset that know, you're gonna put everything into it that you possibly can. We play 16 regular season games, and every one of them's important. But you know, sometimes each game has its own little element, special element that makes you unique from the other 15. And sometimes those are, you know, can be a little positive push or motivation or whatever term you want to call it there. So sure, I think that some things like that exist from time to time. But, you know, in the end, once the ball's kicked off and the game starts, it really comes down to, you know, a lot of good execution. I think that the motivating part of it is probably a little overrated relative to the players' execution and performance. And the success that we had last night, I would attribute to the players and their performance and job they did on the field. You know, sometimes each guy's personal motivation could be a little bit different, you know, from game to game. You know, their matchup against another opponent, or, I mean, it could be a whole variety of things, where they're playing, or who they're playing against, or what happened the last time they played against a player or that team or whatever happened. So it's, you know, it's each one's unique and independent.
Bill, you had a couple young guys that played for the first time this season, and Dane Fletcher and Brandon Dederick. What were your impressions of what they were able to contribute in the game?
You know, I thought they both did some positive things, some, you know, learning experiences, but, you know, Dane was involved primarily in the kicking game and then got some opportunities on defense at the end of the game, and, you know, Dederick played in some different situations defensively, so, you know, I think they both helped us at times, and then there are other plays that they're going to learn from, and hopefully they'll be better the next time they get an opportunity to do those. But, you know, on balance, it was certainly positive having them at the game and having them contribute.
Guys, why don't we take one more question? Well, there isn't any questions.
Bill, I'm sorry, I'm gonna ask one more. Bill, after the game, or I think this morning, the Dolphins actually relieved their special teams coach of his duties, firing, I guess. At this point, is this just part of the business, or do you have a reaction to that? Or saddened, surprised, anything?
Well, I mean, I don't think probably much anything that happens in the league these days is surprise or, you know, unheard of. You know, it's unfortunate, I think, in a way, but that's, honestly, I'm just kind of worried about our team and what we're doing, and I'm sure what any other team does is what they feel like is in the best interest of their football team, and I respect that. I'm sure those decisions aren't easy.
All right, thanks, everyone. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you.